Welcome to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. Today's guest is Wendy Rose Williams, a certified spiritual teacher, hypnotherapist, author, and past life adventure guide. She helps people release energy that doesn't serve them so they're able to live happier, healthier lives. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me as your guest, Johnny. Happy to be here.
How did you come up with the title of Past Life Adventure Guide?
The way I came up with that was I realized that a lot of people were viewing past lives as being doom and gloom and just very intense and just really tough energy. Certainly, there can be challenging energy to release, but there also can be wonderful experiences and past life abilities that come forward to now. And I just feel like we're here for the adventure. That's why we incarnate. We're here for the experiences. So that's why I came up with that title.
Interesting. And I think a lot of us can definitely appreciate the adventure part of it because it doesn't necessarily have to be doom and gloom, as you say.
Right.
Right. I know that you had, looks like, several near-death experiences. What happened during the first one and the second one?
Yes, they both occurred in the same week. In August of 97, I was newly pregnant. My husband and I were thrilled because it had been years of infertility, and I'd also had two ectopic pregnancies. So we're just over the moon. I was 10 weeks pregnant. I'd been to the doctor once. Everything was looking good, except for this just incredible heartburn that just wasn't making sense. And the doctor said, okay, it's safe to take Mylanta, just use as much Mylanta as you need to. So I was working at home alone. My husband's off at work. Our nanny was at the park with our toddler because we also had an 18-month-old at the time. And I just can't get comfortable. I don't feel right. And I felt this sense of impending doom, which I have never felt in my life before or since. So I go into the bathroom one more time thinking, gosh, I'm just going to be sick. I've just got so much heartburn. And instead, what happened was I experienced this searing pain in my abdomen, and it felt like something gave way. It felt like something like an organ burst. And I went down on the floor and I passed out. And I only came to because there was just this insistent male voice that just kept calling my name and saying, Wendy, you've got to call for help now or you're going to go home. So at that point, I'm laying on the floor and I'm looking around my bathroom in amazement. It was all lit up. There were these huge rays of light, and I sensed and could hear angels. And that was just an incredible experience. And the angel repeated, you've got to call for help now or you're going to go home. And I knew he meant I was going to die. So
go home. I've
yes.
heard that expression quite a lot when these things are discussed. So what happened next?
What happened next was I told him, I can't walk. I don't know how to get to the phone. And he replied, all you have to do is be willing to try. So I tried to get up on my hands and knees, and I did. And the minute I was able to do that, it was like being lifted. I was like a few feet off the floor, and I'm suddenly right at my landline. I was able to call my husband for help. And my husband was at work, and miracles continue because I don't even think to call 911. I have no idea why. I just never had called 911. So I called my husband at work, which was logical because he had the car and he worked 5 minutes from home. So miracles continue. And I reach him at work. I had never reached him at work. All I said was, something's really wrong. Can you come home right now and drive me to the hospital? And he said, yes. And just immediately headed home. I just had time enough to call the OBGYN office. Fortunately, they were located right at the hospital, or I'm not sure I would be telling this story today either. I just feel like I got so much assistance. So they whisked me right up to their office, straight into the ultrasound room. Couldn't see a darned thing on the ultrasound. And I didn't understand at the time, it's because I was having such a major abdominal bleed. We went to the doctor's office. I get whisked right into the ultrasound room, and they were not able to see anything on the ultrasound, which seemed very odd to me. I'd had ultrasounds before. I knew you could see organs. You know, it just was very odd. I didn't understand yet that there was just so much blood that that's why the screen was just looking all black. The doctor takes one look at the screen and just says, we need to admit you now. So we're going to take you up on the floors and admit you into the hospital because there's some sort of major abdominal bleed going on. And at this point, my abdomen is just distending and getting bigger and bigger. I mean, you can visually see it, which is really strange because, you know, 10 weeks pregnant, you don't, there's nothing, there's no belly going on yet.
At what point then during this experience did you go out? And then once you reached that point when, you know, left your body, what was it like then?
Yeah, what it was like then, I get admitted to the hospital. They start to try and transfuse blood. And when I really went out of body was several days later because I was in the hospital for about a week. And we didn't do surgery until about day 3 or 4 because we were hoping that there'd be enough transfusions that whatever was going on, because they didn't know what had burst. They didn't know, you know, what was causing this bleed. So we agreed to do surgery because my hematocrit is just going down and down and down every day as they're drawing my blood and testing my blood. So once I've agreed to the surgery, and I know it's going to be the next morning, first thing, I'm trying to visualize a positive outcome. I'm trying to visualize a successful surgery. And the minute I do that, I pop out of my body. I just leave my body. And I'm looking back down at myself on the bed going, oh my gosh, she is in really bad shape. She's just whiter than the sheets. But it felt so fantastic out of my body. And because I wasn't in pain anymore, I wasn't worried anymore. It just felt fantastic. So I keep rising on up and I go through the ceiling of the hospital room. And the minute I do, I can see this white light of home up above me. I do remember thinking, oh gosh, don't make me walk down a long tunnel. I didn't know a lot about near-death experiences, but I must have heard or seen an image. And I had this impression that people usually go through this tunnel. I was too exhausted. It's like I'd been bleeding out for days. It's like I just had no energy left. So the minute I thought that, this beautiful escalator appeared in front of me. And I was like, oh, thank you. I can take this escalator up and up and up. So I did. And I get to the top of the escalator and there's this welcoming committee. It's like the best welcome home party ever. And I sensed about 20 beings of light there that were right at the top of the escalator, including the angels that had been in my bathroom. I could sense both sets of grandparents, which I thought was super cool because I'd never met my dad's parents because they died before I was born. And they gave me this huge group hug and said, we're so happy you're home. You're welcome to stay. You've done nothing wrong. We're so happy you're here. But you need to know that if you choose to take one more step here at home, you're not going to be able to go back to your body.
I'm thinking of the escalator. I can't help but think of an escalator in like a mall like Macy's or...
It looked like a shopping mall or airport escalator, but there was no one on it but me. And it was perfectly clean. Have you ever seen a clean escalator?
Not very many. So what did the beings of light, can you describe what they look like?
Yes, we all looked the same. Everyone looked like this big white beach ball of energy. And it was just like this like little lightning storm inside each one. Each one was so lively. And so that's what it looked like. But yet, and they all looked exactly the same. Yet I knew exactly who each person was. It wasn't hard to know.
No faces, no facial recognition.
No faces. Yeah, you didn't need it. It's just like you just knew the energy of your loved ones. You just knew who it was.
So did you miss not being able to recognize them by their face or not?
Not needed. And I loved that point because when you think about that, it's like we're all exactly the same. Why do we have these artificial divisions around culture and race and gender? We're all exactly the same.
Well, that lends itself to the theory of oneness.
It sure does.
Probably too big of a subject for today, but it's something that is all pervasive and comes up again and again. So I imagine this type of experience, did that have a pretty big impact on you believing in reincarnation and past lives, or were you already there?
I was not already there, and it didn't take me there, interestingly. What it did for me was it gave me this sense of being truly loved and supported, and to know that there was wisdom available to me. I hadn't felt that love and support because we don't get unconditional love very often. So that was what I felt from that group hug, was just to be loved completely, exactly as I am. And that was a big deal. And I also realized, so the angel continued to narrate, and he told me, if you do go back, you are going to have a successful surgery, you'll fully recover, and your baby will be born healthy. So this was huge to know that. But life will be very difficult, likely for many years, because you're not on your life path. You're not living your purpose. So of course, I asked them.
They were able to tell the future then.
Yes. So I didn't get a life review of the past like some people do, either of the present life or of previous lifetimes. I got more of the preview of coming attractions.
That's still pretty good.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, to feel that, you know, unconditional love, to get that energy boost, to know that you're supported, and to be told those two huge facts, because of course that was weighing heavily on my mind. Am I going to survive this surgery, and am I going to recover? And what about the baby? I mean, that was so, so on my mind. And no one would tell me though, because I responded, that's terrible. You know, I'm really concerned. I'm not on my life path. What should I be doing? I want to do the right thing. And I'm just getting the shaken heads. I'm getting the duct tape over the mouth. They're just being silly. And I'm just like laughing, like, okay.
Did they actually do that with that gesture?
Like the pantomiming of all those ways of, we're not going to tell you.
So that's amazing. So, and I've heard this before, where the light beings in the spirit world, they actually do have a sense of humor.
Oh, there's this tremendous sense of humor. Absolutely.
You were lucky enough to experience that unconditional love, which again is a common theme. Do you think these beings are amongst us now, but albeit on a different frequency?
Absolutely. I think we all have guides and guardian angels. I mean, I sure prove that point quite literally. And I think they're around us, and we just need to learn how to clear our energy and like listen. We need to just meditate or be quiet for a few minutes as you're falling asleep at bed, or just take a walk, you know, whatever it might be, to just get our left brain, get our ego to calm down. And then I feel like we can tap into that wisdom and that gentle, loving guidance around us.
I just think that experiences like these are critically important for a lot of us to discover what really happens when we die. Many of my colleagues and peers believe that we don't die, we just keep going. Did you get that impression?
Very much so. I no longer had a fear of death after that experience, because I feel like it did start to wake me up to the aspect of our consciousness, whether you call it consciousness, whether you call it the soul, that essence of us, I feel is eternal and goes on. So it just really was a game changer to start to take away a lifetime of anxiety for me. And then I really shed that in my first formal past life regression that I had as the client. So the two discrete NDEs in my mind were when I was in the bathroom and went down when I was home alone. And then that night before the surgery in the hospital, when I went up to the light via the shopping mall escalator.
The escalator. I'm going to be thinking about that for quite some time.
Just ask for a ride.
When you were up there, and I've heard this from a good friend of mine, he didn't see the escalator or the tunnel or any of that, but he said it was the most amazing feeling ever. And when they brought him to, and he was 26 or 27 when this happened, the first thing he did ask was, why did you bring me back? So did you ever get the urge to say, I'm not going back, I'm staying here?
No, I felt I was given a very respectful choice. So I didn't, and that's another aspect of NDEs since I've studied them years later, now that it's 22 years later, is a lot of people feel that they were told, you have to go back, it's not your time. And some even describe being like, feeling like they were like pushed or shoved. I didn't get any of that. I just got another big hug, because the minute I was asked the question, what do you want to do? I just saw my toddler's face. I saw my daughter's face. It was easy. Plus, I knew I was going to have a healthy baby and I knew I was going to recover. So who wouldn't come back? And I would then deal with if I wasn't on my life path.
You went to go have a past life regression. When did you get interested in that?
It was quite a few years later. What happened was my husband and I divorced. And another 6 or 7 years after that, I had rebuilt my life and had the career going, had the new home, the kids were doing well. And I was at the point where it's time to meet a nice guy. How in the world do you do that nowadays? You know, I hadn't been on a date in 20 plus years. So I asked younger girlfriends and they said, oh, you go on match.com. There's this online dating service. So they helped me put together a profile and you could put in your home zip code. And the minute I put in 10 miles, this profile came up and I knew the man. And I'm like racking my brain. How do we know each other? So I sent him an email right away because also he had put something very intriguing at the end of his profile, which was, I'm very interested in meeting a woman who's on a spiritual path, particularly one who wants to explore an LBL. What's an LBL? So I Google and I find Michael Newton's Life Between Lives, which is this 4+ hour spiritual technique that you do with a past life regressionist where you go home to the light. So, you know, just lots of similar aspects to the NDE. So when I write to him, I say, does LBL stand for Life Between Lives, Michael Newton's technique? And he says, you know, he writes back right away, yes, do you know about it? I'm getting ready to go for my second one. Took us about 3 weeks to meet. And the minute we met in the restaurant, it was the same thing. We both were like, I know you. We both were saying it to each other and just like could not look away. So that lunch turns into 3 hours. And what we realized was we knew each other from past lives. And that's when it started to come in for me. And that's when I also really learned the concept of soulmates. And it's soul contracts. I believe we can make agreements before we incarnate that there's things we're going to experience together.
That's what I've been told several times. So did you do the past life regression first or did you do that and then do the life between lives?
You have to do a past life regression first because you have to learn how to really relax and trust that process. It helps if you know how to meditate or if you know how to move gently into that altered state. I did a past life regression about a year after I met him. He found the regressionist for me and drove me to my session in downtown Seattle. And then I went back a year later and had my own first life between lives. And both were so helpful and so life-changing that the next year I had two, and those were with a Newton therapist. The next year I had two sessions with a quantum healing hypnotherapist who'd trained with Dolores Cannon. And at that point, life had just changed so much, so positively through those four sessions that I knew I was supposed to train. And that's what got me on track. And then I opened myself to, okay, who am I meant to train with to become a past life regressionist, past life adventure guide?
Okay, so that was your path though.
Yes.
Your first experience with the Life Between Lives session
is via match.com.
That's incredible.
It's hysterical.
The session itself, though, what was that like? Because from what I've been told, you go literally in between lives and you learn about things like soul contracts and so on. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'd spoken with the hypnotherapist on the phone. I loved her voice, her energy. I'd gone carefully through her website and read as much as I could to prepare. And what she'd said to me was, we don't know how you're going to do. We never know. You just have to be willing to, you know, understand you're going to get what you need, which doesn't always match what we want. I insisted that I wanted to record it on my phone. I'd never recorded anything on my phone before, but she was very gracious and she said, sure. I had a tremendous experience. She took me gently back to several scenes earlier in this lifetime. We did like a lot of breathing exercises at the beginning, just getting me to kind of calm down and visualize. And you know, we visualized some nice things, like visualize your favorite place to go, kind of creating a safe space for yourself and just did different things like that. that. And then she took me back to when I was, just go back to something. What do you remember when you were 12 years old? And then we went back to when I was a preschooler. And then she suggested I go back to when I was in the womb. And my brain tried to like kick in and go, huh? I can't remember that far back. But, and I just was truthful. I would just tell her, not believing it, not buying it. Or I would just tell her the fire engine outside, you know, the window that I could hear. I'm just like all rattled now. I need to relax again. You just have to be speaking with your therapist. And then we cleaned up some tremendous stuff from when I was 12 and when I was a preschooler. And then she suggested, after I was in the womb, she suggested I go back earlier in time to a past life that would be important for me to learn about, that would help my life now. And I immediately went back to one, and I was like, whoa. At first, I felt a little disoriented. I felt a little scared because I knew I was out of my body and I didn't quite know. And she asked me to look at my body and describe it, and I couldn't. So she turned it around and just said, you can do this. You're fine. Take a big breath. What can you see? Or what do you hear? Or what do you know or sense? And then I could tell her, because I could see this bicycle like in the intersection that was on its side and that the wheel was spinning. And from there, I was able to describe it. So I actually described two past lives. And then she just gently, you know, brought me out like 15 minutes before the end of the 2 hours. And we debriefed and talked about it. I just felt like the weight of the world was off my shoulders, because at that point, it was no longer theory. It was now my reality. Guess what? You don't have to be a perfectionist. You've got another shot. You know, you can do it again and do it better. And the weight of the world and that anxiety came off me.
The two past lives, were you able to pinpoint what time period?
Yes, I was. Not fully at the time. The first one was a young woman in a market in London. And I had an interesting experience where I was just out shopping for pleasure. I was wealthy in a nice family. And I saw this disheveled looking man kind of furtively steal some food. And he's going to get caught, because the merchant, you know, calls for a bobby. And this poor guy's got bad luck because there's a policeman right nearby. And I had a feeling I knew the man, that he lived a couple streets over from us. And I knew he was out of work. I knew he had a family. I knew his wife was sick. So I went totally against my upbringing, which was always, you know, tell the truth. You do what a policeman tells you. I think my father was a banker. So the bobby saw me because I was nearest and said, hey, where'd he go? You know, you must have seen the man. Where'd he go? And I outright lied. I sent him totally the wrong direction.
So was this like 19th century?
I'd say late 1700s. Felt like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're going back a ways. What about the other one?
The second life was even more surprising to me, because I landed more easily because I'd already done it once. I'm starting to, you know, learn. But I looked down and I was like, oh my God, this is weird, because I'm in a male body. So that threw me off for a minute. And I was like, well, of course, we don't always reincarnate as one gender. But it just took me aback, because I wasn't used to being a male. And I could really feel that young male body. And I wasn't looking at it. My point of view was I was in that body. And not a good surprise, I'm chained to the wall in a prison. So I'm in bad shape. And I know I've been there quite a while, because I'm just super hungry, in bad shape. Clothes are really raggy, really cold, pretty miserable. And my hair was really long. And I knew it was just very outgrown. So I got the story of that lifetime and why I was put in prison. It was Spanish Inquisition. I just couldn't stand those books being put, and I didn't think anybody saw me. I waited till I thought everyone was gone before I tried to pull some of those books out from the fire. But I did get out of prison, and I did recover my health. I also took back up with my habits more discreetly.
So this is during the Spanish Inquisition.
During the Spanish Inquisition, yeah.
And since then, you've been able to discover even more past lives of your own. Was that through therapy, or did you do that through meditation? How did that happen?
The first ones came via past life regression, doing formal sessions, because I didn't yet know how to meditate. And that's where they started to come in. And then I learned to meditate. And then just because it's so is part of my life purpose and is part of my career and what I do for a living and for enjoyment in so many ways, I've got now conscious recall of, I don't even count them anymore. I'm over 100, which is unusual. So they came in a variety of ways, different, some psychic readers, some Reiki masters. I was waiting for the gentleman who bags my groceries to tell me about my past life. It had gotten to that point where there was such a bolus of them came in. There just were so many, particularly in the years 2013 and 2014. I felt really swept away because you got to keep your feet on the ground. You got to be here now. And there was just so much of it. They were coming in dreams. They were coming in spontaneous recall. They were starting to come through auto writing because I would meditate and then just write a question that I couldn't figure out before I meditated. And then I would auto write an answer from my guides. TV shows, movies would trigger me and I'd be back in another past life. So it really was a lot. Like I said, you got to keep grounded and clear your energy.
I've heard about discovering past lives through therapy, meditation, and dreams, but not instant recall.
Spontaneous recall is a big deal, and it can be really intense. For a time period, I had like a loose elastic around my left wrist. And when I was just like getting triggered too much and getting back, and it's like, nope. We got to be focusing right now. We need to work on that another time. This is not the time when I'm driving or when I need to be focusing on work or, you know, whatever else. Because some of them came in while I was driving. Because if you really know the road and, you know, you're relaxing and there's not traffic around you, you can absolutely go into that wonderful hypnotic state. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow, I'm like 2 minutes from home. How'd I get here? I don't remember the last 15 minutes.
Probably happens a lot more than we think.
Yes. Yes, when we lose track of time. And that's all the therapeutic stage of that theta state of hypnotherapy is. It's just like you're falling asleep at night or you're waking up in the morning. You're just wonderfully relaxed.
So I guess then the next stage was you started to do some training. You did spend some time training with Dr. Brian Weiss.
I did. Oh, it was fantastic. He's just got this angelic voice and presence and energy. So I thoroughly enjoyed training with him for a week at the Omega Center in upstate New York. And first I trained with a Dolores Cannon therapist. And then I also trained with one of Michael Newton's original therapists who had been one of his trainers for the Newton Institute. So I actually went for like all the big three in the US.
Once you started doing that, then you obviously started practicing yourself. So you are a therapist?
Yes. So I am a hypnotherapist who specializes in past life regression. I've never done smoking cessation or weight loss or other things, relaxation, other things that hypnotherapy can be used for. But certainly they may come up, you know, in people's session because people get to write up to 20 questions for their session for their own higher self and guides to answer. Because past life regression, it's not a psychic reading. It's not someone telling you, oh, you used to be Cleopatra's maid. So you probably hate house cleaning. I'm just making up a totally silly example.
That's a good point. I'm glad that you brought that up. That reminds me of something. When we hear about people talk about past lives, we spend a little bit too much time on the internet. We read something about how a four-year-old boy in Australia has memories of Princess Diana. Maybe he does. Or four or five different people have memories of Marilyn Monroe. Now, I don't think all of them could have been Marilyn Monroe's reincarnation or anybody else for that matter. But is it possible that some of us had access to other people's memories, not reincarnated?
It's possible, I believe, particularly for younger souls that haven't incarnated as many times. It's helpful to have experiences to draw on. So there is a collective consciousness. There's also archetypes like the servant, the lover, the mother, the monk. Those type of thing. There's archetypes. So, I mean, that's how Carl Jung looked at it, was they were all archetypes from the collective consciousness.
Speaking of Jung and the collective of conscious, is that the same thing as the Akashic Records or not necessarily?
I believe the Akashic Records, the way I see them, is as this beautiful storehouse of knowledge, of all knowledge, past, present, and future. And I believe each person has a book of life specific to them in the Akashic record. So I see it as the holy record. And it's actually a place I love and relate to. And I believe we have jobs when we're at home. We're not just sitting on a cloud eating bonbons.
I would hope so, because I think that might get kind of boring.
Exactly. You might choose to do that for a time to just, you know, shake off what you've been through in that human life or whatever life you've chosen, whether it's been on Earth or elsewhere, another planet or another dimension. But I believe that we want to learn and do things at home. And I was just so amazed to find that I was an Akashic Records specialist, so a librarian, essentially. And it's a big deal. Because when the guides or the angels come in, and usually they're bringing someone with them who's not used to traveling and not used to journeying home, and they're like, bring us their book of life. So I would go and find the book of life. And sometimes as I got more experience, they would then trust me, show them the right past life, show them the one past life that will most help them right now. And the angel or the guide wouldn't do it. They would ask me to do it. So it's like over time, you know, I learned to do more there in the Akashic Records, like you do in any job.
Does this help you in your current work?
I feel it does, because it really relates, because here I am a writer, and here I love to read, and I help people with their past life energy. So I feel like it all comes together. And I'll give you another example of that. My boyfriend, who woke me up spiritually, that I met via Match, he's a world traveler. He's been to over 100 countries. And what he does at home is he helps people when they're planning their lifetime and choosing where they're going to incarnate. He can tell them, well, here's what Zimbabwe is really like. You know, you're saying you want to accomplish these goals. Let me tell you about what that country and how that might fit, because he knows not only the geography, but the culture, and would be able to tell them. So he helps them pre-plan their life. And I said, oh my gosh, you're a travel agent.
The reincarnation travel agent.
Exactly.
That's amazing. I'm going to have to talk to this fellow at some point.
And then me as the librarian.
Very interesting stuff. With this type of work that you do now, it seems to me that this type of therapy can break through certain barriers that traditional therapy might not. Do you get the same feeling?
Yes, absolutely. Or do so more powerfully, more quickly, yet gently and safely. The types of people that I see the most frequently are people with pain, physical chronic pain that they just can't figure out, and or emotional pain, because those are just going to go together. Anxiety, depression, PTSD. So those are kind of the main types of things that can have a lifetime of origin in a past life or past lives. So that's what we look for to resolve.
Just what the doctor ordered.
Wendy, thanks for joining us today. How can our listeners find you online?
Via my website, which is wendyrosewilliams.com. And I would love to offer a complimentary 15-minute phone appointment to anybody that would like to learn more and see if I might be able to be of service to them. And my books are available on Amazon and Audible.
I will definitely put all of that info in the show notes.
You've been listening to Closer to Venus. I'm Johnny Burke. If you enjoyed today's episode, please consider subscribing. If you really liked it, you can also leave us a review on iTunes as well. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.